So God is good.
And
all of the time,
God is good.
You know, sometimes it sounds entertaining when we say God is good all the time. I don't know about you, but when I say God is good all the time, I mean it. I appreciate the fact that I'm able to get up from bed every morning. I'm able to breathe life every morning and be among God's people every day. And that's the goodness of God. There's a song that says, your goodness is running after me. And yes, God's goodness is running after me. So Spirit of Joy, I say God is good.
All the time.
And all of the time.
God is good.
Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, Jesus, our Savior, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter. This morning in our gospel, we heard about fear. And there are different kinds of fear. There is a fear of isolation, fear of death. There is a fear of that happening because that's imminent threat. And there's a fear called irrational fear. And our gospel talk about fear. But I'm going to leave you to decide what kind of fear we're talking about this morning. I'm going to let that be your judgment. And I'm sure each of us have had our own share of fear. I have had my share of fear. So many years ago, in 1989, December, the Civil War emerged in Liberia. We did not think much of it. Oh, it's just going to come and go. But no, in 1990, the war intensified. Family and friends died. Thousands of people died. Then one day, while I was seeking refuge, I was arrested and set aside to be executed with many others by firing squad because I did not meet the requirement to get through the gate. Overwhelmed and overtaken by fear, I was shocked behind my door. I was locked behind my door of shock and despair. Trembling in fear and doubt, my body felt like an empty shell. Then something happened. Jesus showed up and said to me, "Peace be with you." I was set free. I thank God for saving me. And I told God, "God, please allow me to survive this war. And if I do, I will serve you for the rest of my life." Well, the Civil War subsided. I felt God was leading me into something new. I struggled to step out and answer God's call. I was very wrapped up in my conscious belief that I was insufficient to carry out this work. Again, fear overtook me. It was like I was locked into my own belief of not being able to accomplish the task that God and that I promised to do, to carry it out. I was locked in my fear and could not believe that God was calling me to carry out the gospel work. I noticed I was becoming a very unhappy person. Even though I had plenty of family support, I had a supportive congregation, I had a good job, good well-paying job, and all that is needed to make a person happy, I was not happy. I had shut the doors to risk and possibilities. This is what fear does. Fear locks you up into self-doubt and insecurity. Fear make you question your decision. Fear make you question whether you are worth it. Well, Jesus showed up again and again, and he released me from my fear. And here I am today. The Gospel of John reminds us again of how Jesus will never stop looking for us, of how Jesus will never stop showing up, no matter what our circumstances are. The Bible tells us that when the disciples were locked indoors in fear of the Jews, Jesus came and showed up, and he stood among them. Now, the doors were locked. How did Jesus enter? That's a God thing. They were in fear and they locked the door, but the Bible says Jesus showed up and he greeted them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus' presence in our ambivalence is not to stir us up, but to release us from our fear. He showed the disciples his hands and his side, and then he blessed them again, said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so send I you." So this time, Jesus did not just show up, he did not just bless them, he also gave them a commission. He sent them, he gave them a mission. He said, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." When he had said this, the Bible says, Jesus breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgave the sins of any, their sins will be forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, their sins will be retained." That's how powerful the Holy Spirit is. But you see, as Jesus was commissioning his disciples, our brother Thomas was not around. Thomas was somewhere else. We don't know where. Good thing the Bible did not say where. But Thomas was not around. So when the disciples saw Thomas, they said, "Thomas," they decided to testify. I know we Lutherans who don't like to testify, but it is good to testify of the goodness of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Okay? So Thomas, the disciples decided to testify to Thomas of what they had seen. They said, "We have seen the Lord." Now turn to your neighbor and say, "I have seen the Lord." Well, Thomas said, Thomas, like any one of us in this situation would have done, he set a condition. He said, "Well, I know you've seen the Lord, but I tell you, I will not believe unless I see the mark of the nails in the hands of Jesus and put my finger on his side." Thomas meant business. He said, "I want to feel and I want to touch. Not just his hand, but I want to touch his side. I want to feel that. Then I will believe." One week later, Jesus appeared to the disciples again. And he greeted them, saying, "Peace be with you." That's the third time. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Thomas, reach your hand and put it on my side, because I heard that's what you wanted to do." So here is the opportunity. Reach your hand and feel my side. Do not doubt, but believe. And then Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me, Thomas? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." That would be us. Notice, Jesus did not show up passing judgment. Praise the Lord. You say amen.
Amen.
Pastor Eric, we got to do this more often. Okay. Jesus did not show up passing judgment. He had all reason to do that because the disciples had been with him. He had trained them. He had worked with them. He had told them what was going to happen on Good Friday. But guess what they did? Even on resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene ran and told them, said, I have seen the Lord. Our Lord is risen. She told the disciples. But they went behind closed doors and locked the door. They locked the door. Jesus could have scolded them for not believing in his resurrection message. Because he told them, I will die, and 3 days later, I will come back to life. He told the disciples. But they still locked themselves behind closed doors. That's what fear does. Jesus could have scolded them for not doing the job well as disciples. He could have berated them. He could have told them so many things. But no. Instead, Jesus showed them grace and proclaimed to them, peace be with you. Jesus strengthened his disciples with his peace. He did it 3 times. And I take that to mean that Jesus knew that we would be fearful, we would experience fear every time, but he reminds us that he will show up and gave us peace. When we have the peace of God that passes our understanding, the world is all ours to take. Praise the Lord. Thank you. We too. Now, before I even go to that part, when Jesus did all that with the disciples, he empowered them. He gave them the power of the Holy Spirit right there and then. And he told them, the Holy Spirit goes with you. That whatever you proclaim, whatever you do in my name, whatever you say, if you forgive anybody's sin, their sin will be forgiven. Now, Jesus could have used any other examples, but he said if you forgive anybody's sin, it will be forgiven. If you retain it, it will be retained because it is hard to forgive. Can I get a witness? It's hard to forgive. So Jesus said, he said that. He gave them the power to do whatever the Holy Spirit allows them to do. He breathed on them the Holy Spirit and sent them out in freedom to proclaim the gospel. We too, as God's children, can be strengthened and reassured of Jesus' words of peace over and over and over again. That's one of the main reasons why we come to church, right? We need a reminder of God's peace. We live in a broken world. We live in a world where there are wars and bombs and guns all over the place. There are people living in Palestine and Israel who are living in fear every day. I went through a war, a 50 years plus war, where we live in fear every day. But every time God shows up, he says, peace be with you. Let us not allow our fear to overtake us. It is natural to be fearful, but know that God is walking alongside us. Know that God is way ahead of us, preparing the way. Know that no matter what our fears are, there are lots of fears that we experience. There's a fear of not knowing how you will get your medication. The other day, I went to get my medication at Walgreens, and they said my co-payment was $500. I'm like, forget you. $500 co-payment? But God had his own plan. So as we endure, as we go through this world of fear, as we experience wars and bombs and guns, as our sisters and brothers are suffering around the world and suffering from fear, even right here, we might experience fear. God is saying, I send you in the world. I send you with the Holy Spirit. He has empowered us. He has empowered you to go with the Holy Spirit. When you go with the Holy Spirit, there is nothing in this world that you cannot overcome. Praise the Lord. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not promising you that. But God said the Holy Spirit will go alongside with you. That's our comfort. There is fear. But Jesus showed up and gave us the Holy Spirit, our comforter. and he tells us to share his peace around the world, in our neighborhood, wherever we are, with our children. He said, share that peace. That's the mission we are on as God's children this morning. May God bless you. May God keep you. May God shower his sunshine upon you. May God continue to give you the peace that passes all understanding. God bless you.